Secrets can lead to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding can cause fear. Everyone knows what fear can do. We are here to learn and shine the bright light of truth on these stories. You will know why Show Me Scares.
Hello, hello.
Hey, guys.
I'm Shayla.
And I'm Terry.
Welcome to Show Me Scares. This one's a doozy.
It is.
It's effed up.
That's one way to put it.
It's the only way to put it. It's terrible. It's, you know, I mean, we've done a lot that had kids in them, and usually, I mean, the kids get me badly, but this one was the hardest one that I've done. It was bad. So, I do want to put a warning out at the very beginning that this has a lot. This is very gruesome, and you might want to just give it a listen before you let kids hear it. Because I know we have had people reach out and say, you know, that their kids listen with them. So I just want to put that out there at the beginning. You might want to check this one out and make sure you're cool with it before you let your kids listen to it, because it's
pretty
gruesome. Pretty bad. God. So,
what are we doing?
We are going to talk about the Kansas City Butcher. And the reason, so I picked this for Halloween because, I mean, Halloween month, because I think this is one of the most terrifying stories I've ever heard. I think this reads like a horrible horror film.
It blows my mind that it's not a movie.
That it's real. That it's real. Mm-hmm. It's insane. And, of course, Kansas City happened in Kansas City, Missouri. And it's, like I said, one of the worst stories I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get right into it and get it over with.
Okay, let's do this.
We're going to talk about Robert Berdella. I always want to say Berdella, like the wine. That's not it. Robert Andrew Berdella Jr. He was born January 31st, 1949 in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. I hope I said that right. I doubt it, but whatever. We're only in Ohio for a minute, so. He was born to a middle class family. He had a brother. When he was 7, he got his little brother. His name was Daniel. His father worked at Ford, and his mom was a homemaker. And there was just this normal Catholic family. Mm-hmm. They attended mass regularly. The boys both went to attended religious classes, and so I mean they were just normal people.
Mm-hmm.
Dad works at Ford, mom stays home with the kids. But from an early age, Robert was kind of an odd child. So he, and I hate to say that, I hate to even like go there, but he was compared to his brother. And so his brother was just a normal little boy who liked sports, liked playing outside and that kind of thing. It's, I guess, as what most people think of being normal. I hate putting that on, but we're in the 50s.
Right.
Okay. So 50s, Midwest in the 50s, even, you know, at that. So, but Robert, he, from the age of 5, he had big Coke bottle glasses because he was severely nearsighted.
Aww.
He spoke with a slight lisp. He had high blood pressure and had to be on medication. I don't know if he was 5 for that, but I know he was a child. He collected coins and stamps. He did not play outside. He was an inside kid. He had pen pals from all over the world.
Oh, wow.
That's so cool, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not mad at that. But his father compared him, like I said, to his brother. So he was a complete failure to his father because he wasn't a normal boy. He was a weirdo.
Closed off, stayed inside, didn't play sports,
yeah,
basically.
And his father, apparently, from what he later went on to tell about, his father would beat him with a leather strap.
Oh, my.
Now, I always get a little bit like, I don't know. Whenever these people who are arrested for some crazy crime or, you know, terrible murders say, yeah, oh, my dad beat me when I was a kid.
Like, did he though?
Did he? I mean, are you just trying to come up with something and explain this? Mm-hmm. You know?
I mean, I got my butt whooped when I was little too, but yeah. I didn't turn out as a murderer.
I know. That's what I was going to say. I was trying to think back if I ever got busted with a belt, which a leather strap, I'm sure that's what a belt was, but I don't think I ever did, but I know that, I mean, I got threatened with it a lot.
Mm-hmm. I get my ass whooped with a belt and a fly swatter and whatever my mom can get a hold of.
That's what I mean. Like, I think that was a different time. Mm-hmm. You know, that
it's like, did you deserve it? I mean,
I don't know. I don't know. But I always feel like they always come back with that. They're like, yeah, well, I was beat as a kid and my parents were terrible to me and I don't know.
That's their excuse for being a murderer, huh?
It's something. It doesn't help, I'm sure, but I do feel super bad for Kid Bob. I mean, he kind of has it bad, you know? And it gets worse. So he's kind of starts getting a little bit better. You know, he was really good in school. He made good grades. He was a good student. So, you know, he wasn't all bad. But whenever he was 16, 1965, he was 16, and his father suddenly died of a heart attack at the age of 39.
What?
Yeah.
You don't hear that often, that's for sure.
So, here's a little bit of... Even though his father was so terrible to him and he hated him so badly, he was devastated by his father's death.
Still his dad.
Yeah, yes. But also, his mother married, like, immediately. She remarried immediately. And he was resentful for that.
Oh, wow.
He was not happy about it. He saw it as betrayal to his father that she married so quickly. What? I mean, what's she supposed to do? You know, I don't know. I have my own feelings.
Depends on how quickly. But I don't know. I'm the same way. It's like, who is he to put a time limit on it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. So he also later, he would claim that it was around this time that he was sexually assaulted by a male coworker at a restaurant. Oh. But he also, around this time, realized that he was gay, which, again, we're in the 60s in the Midwest. And
yikes.
Terrifying. So.
So this terrifying being gay in these day and age.
In the Midwest. Yeah. we are leaps and bounds ahead of this, but.
For sure. But I can't imagine back then.
No. And then he's sexually assaulted by a male coworker. So I don't know if. Again, you have to take it with a grain of salt because he tells all this stuff after he is arrested for multiple murders. Mm-hmm. Is he trying to explain it away? I can make up all kinds of shit that happened to me if I were arrested for, you know, being a serial killer. So I don't know. I hate to say that, but
I hate it if he was
for I just
sure.
hate this man, and so yeah. That's why I'm like, I don't believe anything you said. You're an asshole, that's all.
It's hard to believe somebody who's so bad.
Yes. So it was also in 1965 when the movie The Collector came out. So this movie, he actually later will say that this movie greatly influenced him in the things that he did.
Gosh.
In this movie, a man, kind of an oddball guy, he abducts a beautiful young art student and keeps her as his own, and tries to make her fall in love with him. It doesn't work. She ends up dying.
Yikes.
It's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. And so this was like, for him, something that kind of went, ooh, there's an idea. Like,
Yeah, who thinks of that?
At 16. So, yeah. Mind you. In 1967, at the age of 18, he graduated high school and he entered the Kansas City Art Institute with hopes of becoming an art professor.
Wow.
Yeah. So it didn't really work out for him. Shocker, I know. He started kind of doing these artsy performances, let's call them.
Okay.
They were art to him, not to anyone else. So on three different occasions, he tortured and killed animals in these performances.
Well, there's a red flag.
Right? So the first one, he beheaded a duck, took its head off, danced around with the carcass. And then from what I understand, I mean, everything that I've seen says he also then cooked it and ate it.
So, weird. And yeah. He calls this art?
This is art. And
what kind of art class is this?
God. So nobody liked that. That was terrible. So then the next one, the next little performance that he did, to showcase his art, it was some kind of maze. And whenever people entered the maze, they were given this baby chick to hold in their hand. And at the end, there was like a screen showing him shooting a baby chick.
What the hell?
Yeah. So the ironic thing about this was, and what, you know, it kind of seemed like he was trying to get at, is the people who were holding the chick watching this would be so freaked out and like so affected by it that they would squeeze the baby chick they were holding and hurt it.
What the hell?
Yeah. And so he was like, how can you say like that this was wrong when you're doing the exact same thing while you're watching it? Like,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So creepo creepy. So the third one, the third and final strike, if you will, it was a dog. I know.
Oh, hell no.
It was, he gave him tranquilizers and sedatives until he just killed the dog.
Yeah, that's the last straw.
Mm-hmm, pretty much. So he was either kicked out or left. I think he was asked to withdraw. Mm-hmm. So I've heard that he was kicked out. I've heard that he withdrew because he got pissed off because of the way they acted over it. Yeah, I know. They're crazy.
But he killed a dog.
I know. So, I mean, in this day and age, he'd have been hung on the square for that. I'm just saying.
Right.
Anyway, I think what it boils down to is they asked him to withdraw, mm-hmm. and pretty much, you know, said either you withdraw or we're going to expel you, and then you can't get into other schools as easily, right? So he decides then he will become a chef.
Well, that's scary.
It was also during his college years that he was arrested a few times for selling drugs. He was actually arrested once for selling drugs to an undercover police officer. Mm. Whoopsie. But charges never stuck. Not sure how that happens.
Yeah, I mean, what more evidence do they need?
I don't know how much more caught you can be, but you know the law. And so, cool thing about this whole chef thing is he actually like developed a program for the local community college to train chefs. Like, he was kind of big shit about with his chef stuff. And he was cooking at all of the best restaurants in Kansas City.
So he's a smart guy.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he has his moments.
Other than selling drugs to a cop.
Well, yeah, that wouldn't do bright.
Killing animals. But, I mean,
he had stuff going for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand where you're going with that. So throughout his life, he had kind of, like we said, with the stamps and the coins, kind of in a collector of sorts. And also some of his pen pals would send him things from other countries because, you know, he had a lot of pen pals mm-hmm. from foreign countries. And so he had kind of this collection of odd things, even like occult items and stuff like that. Like things that nowadays people are like, that's kind of normal now, you know, like right. In those times it was like, this guy's freaking weird. But now I think things are shifting. Things are moving a lot differently mm-hmm. as far as occult items are viewed. And so now his collection would probably be a pretty big deal. I mean,
be interesting.
Yeah. It's like Greg and Dana Newkirk. I mean, he's kind of like them, only they're not like him.
They just got weird stuff.
He just has weird stuff. Yeah. And so he actually opened kind of a side business called Bob's Bazaar Bazaar in this flea market where he sold these antiques and weird stuff. And eventually that became his like full-time gig. Like so that's what he did. Anymore. Yeah. He quit chefing and everything. And he was just Bob's Bazaar. He also was openly gay for years at this point. I know, surprising in that time, but he is in Kansas City. I don't know how the scene was in Kansas City, but you know, maybe, I don't know, can't speak to it, but he dated a Vietnam vet for a short time, but it never really worked out. So he ended up kind of hanging out with the male prostitutes and drug addicts and stuff like that, and kind of was seen as someone who was helping them out. Like he would take them into his home and buy them things and help them get on their feet and try to get out of prostitution and like off to, you know, living a healthier, happier life. He even started a neighborhood watch.
Wow.
Yeah. So like he was a big deal. Like
he sounds like a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He did a lot of things like that. Like he was helping these young men who were in prostitution and living on the streets and stuff like that. So I wonder what
triggered him.
That's a very interesting question because I don't know. I never really figured out the trigger. Like, what was it that was like click? So let's get to
the bad guy.
Yeah. Let's get to the butcher. In 1984. That's what we're talking about now. So the Bazaar, Bob's Bazaar. It was in this flea market, right? Well, Paul Howell owned a booth in the same flea market. And he had a 19-year-old son named Jerry Howell. And he and Bob became friends.
Jerry and Bob?
Jerry and Bob became friends. And Jerry he actually confides in him and says, hey, I've been working as a prostitute to make extra money. And so Bob sees this is one of his broken ones that he can help and fix and, you know, do his thing. On July 4th, 1984, he picks up Jerry, the son, sorry. He's going to drive him to a dance. And he doesn't do that. Instead, he takes him to his house. He just feeds him full of alcohol and drugs until he's completely sedated. Alcohol, volume. Valium. God bless. And he just keeps the alcohol and Valium coming until he's passed out.
Good Lord.
Completely out. Yeah. So he also injects him with tranquilizers.
What the hell?
I don't know if I'm assuming after he wakes up to put him out again. He ties him to the bed and he rapes and tortures him for 28 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. After 28 hours, Jerry is asphyxiated, rather by gagging on his own vomit or from the meds and the gag being too strong.
All of the above?
Yeah. So he takes him to the basement and he tries to resuscitate him, but he can't.
Well, did he not plan that? I mean,
apparently not. Apparently like, he thought that he was going to get to play with him a little longer.
Oh my God.
He tries to resuscitate him. He's unsuccessful. So he suspends his body upside down over a drain and cuts his jugular vein in different spots on him to drain his blood and leaves him there to drain overnight. And the next morning, he dismembers him with a chainsaw and knives, whatever it takes. And he wraps him in newspapers and trash bags. And he literally just put him out by the curb with the trash.
You're kidding me.
And it was picked up and taken away.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And so whenever Jerry is finally a missing person case, They talk to him and he says, I drove him to the dance. That's it. End of story.
No more questions.
Apparently not. Because he did actually tell, you know, talk to people about it and say he picked him up that night and took him to the dance.
What?
Yeah. So, on April 10th, 1985, 23-year-old Robert Shelton came to his house. He had stayed there before. He was one of the young men who had stayed with him before because of
getting help and
his life and where it was. So he said, Bob, later, when he's talking about it, said he was not attracted to Sheldon at all. But he decided that he would express his anger and frustration for other people onto him.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Just made up his mind to do that. He drugged him and held him captive in the upstairs bedroom for 3 days.
Holy crap. I don't even want to think about how the last of his life. Yeah. I mean, 3 days of just torture, I'm sure.
I'm going to tell you about
something. Oh, I don't want to know.
He swabbed drain cleaner in his left eye. Inserted needles under his nails. He bound his wrists with piano wire to damage the nerves. He filled his ears with caulk to deafen him. On April 15th, a workman came to his house to work on the roof. So Robert panicked and tied a bag over Sheldon's head and suffocated him.
Oh my gosh. How do you... What sick person thinks of doing this kind of stuff?
Yeah. He kept his skull. It was later found in the closet in the bedroom. But the rest of him was dismembered and put out with the trash.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. In June of 1985, Mark Wallace was hiding in Bob's tool shed from a storm.
Aww.
So I guess he's homeless, you know,
mm-hmm.
got some stuff going on. He's hiding in this man's tool shed. I think he knew him from previous times. He stayed there before, like many of these young men.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bob finds him and says, what are you doing out here? Come in the house.
Of course he did.
Mm-hmm. So he knows that Mark has a history of depression. And so he tells Mark, let me give you this injection to calm you down, relax you, and then you can get some sleep. And Mark agrees. And he becomes the next captive, right? Of course. He injects him with God knows what to sedate him and make him compliant. And so his torture is just terrible. He puts alligator clips on his nipples.
Ugh.
And applies electric shocks to those clips every time that Mark passed out.
What in the world?
Oh, God.
This guy just gets off for watching people suffer?
He's sick. He inserted hypodermic needles into the muscles on Mark's back. Oh,
gosh.
He only lasted an hour before this combination of torture and electric shock and all of the stuff he was doing to him killed him. It was only an hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, I get nauseous just thinking of this poor kid.
I know. It's of terrible.
All of them.
I told you, this is the roughest one. I mean, reading these, ugh.
I just can't believe that some human being is capable of doing that to another one.
I know. He's not human. He's a monster. On September 26, 1985, James Ferris called Bob. He wanted to come and stay with him for a while. So he agreed, of course, to let him come stay with him for a while. He drugged him by crushing tranquilizers up and putting them in his food. So he didn't even know anything was happening until he was out. He tied him to the bed, and for the next 27 hours, he tortured him. He got out the electrical shock machine again. I don't know what he's using, but something. So he applied electric shocks to his shoulders and testicles for up to 5 minutes at a time. Oh,
what?
He put hypodermic needles into his neck and genitals. He became, James Ferris became completely delirious the pain. He was sexually and physically assaulted. And this is what some of the notes that Bob kept, because he kept like a detailed diary of all of the things that he did to these men.
What a sick person.
Yeah. So some of the notes that he made about James Ferris was unable to sit up for more than 10 minutes at a time.
Well, yeah.
And then the final entry on James Ferris was 86. Which meant throw it out or that the experiment failed.
86?
Yeah.
Huh.
According to Bob, that's what he meant by 86.
Weird.
Yeah.
He's just a monster, like you said. This is just all blowing my mind.
On June 17th, 1986, Bob is at the Kansas City Liberty Memorial Park, where he runs into Todd Stoops. Todd Stoops is a drug addict and sometimes a prostitute. He and his wife lived with Bob twice in 1984. So Todd Stoops tells Bob he needs $13 for drugs.
$13.
So Bob invites him back to his house for lunch and sex to pay for the drugs.
Of course.
So he tells that he has always been attracted to Todd Stoops. Very attracted to Todd Stoops. So he decides he's going to keep this one. He's going to make it last. He's going to keep him for good. So this goes a little different because he plans on keeping him
alive.
He's not wanting to kill him right away. He's wanting to torture him until he becomes compliant and then keep him as a sex slave.
Wow.
So for 2 weeks.
Gosh.
He administered electrical shocks through his eyelids to try to blind him. He injected drain cleaner into his larynx to silence his screams. During the second week, Todd asked if he could please have a sandwich and a soda. And Bob said no, and Todd burst into tears.
Weird. That's like some weird details.
This is all in the diaries. That's why you have these details. Yeah. It's because of the diaries he kept.
Huh.
On June 27th, Bob ruptured Stoops' anal wall with his fist, causing massive bleeding.
Damn.
During the second week, he tried feeding him soft food, but he couldn't keep it down. He had pushed too far and hurt him too badly that he could no longer keep any food down at all. And he became so weak that on his final day alive, he couldn't breathe while he was sitting up.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
On July 1st, Todd Stoops died of septic shock.
That's insane. I'm surprised he made it that long.
Mm-hmm. In 1987, Larry Wayne Pearson came into the bazaar where he met Bob. They kind of struck up a friendship because Larry Pearson had a real interest in this occult items and antiques mm-hmm. and stuff. So he ends up moving in with Bob.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And he kind of earned his living there. I mean, he earned his way. He worked in the house. He done chores. Mm-hmm. He cooked. He cleaned. He was just kind of Bob's maid, if mm-hmm. you will. And Bob said he had no intention of doing anything to him. None whatsoever.
I'll be down.
He was just living there, doing work for him, and everything was fine. Bob was just fine. Bob was fine with it. He did not want to keep him. He did not want anything to do with him.
Huh.
He was fine with the situation. And then Larry Pearson, he was put in jail for something. Drugs, I believe. And so Bob goes and bails him out. On the way back home, Larry Pearson starts making jokes about all of the gay men he used to rob back
shit.
In Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
So Bob drugs him and takes him into the basement where he bounds his hands above his head. He injects his throat with drain cleaner. And he said that Larry Pearson became his most cooperative subject because he tortured him so severely that first session, mm-hmm. if you will, in the basement. He broke his hands with an iron rod and he administered electric shocks to different parts of his body for 5 days. So he takes him after that. He's completely compliant.
Mm-hmm.
He does anything he's asked.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And so Bob takes him upstairs into the bedroom and says, as long as you do what I say and you don't screw up, you won't ever have to go back to the basement and get tortured that same way again. So he became completely cooperative until after 6 weeks.
6 weeks?
6 weeks of being raped and tortured over and over again. Larry Pearson bit down hard onto Bob's penis.
He just had enough finally.
And that's exactly what he said. I can't take it anymore. Whenever he did this. So, Bob bludgeoned him.
Ugh.
And then suffocated him.
Right. He probably knew he was going to die anyway, yeah. So.
Yeah. And you're 6 weeks in. Yeah.
Wow.
He then rushed himself to the hospital and
that's
and
something
here's
to explain.
Here's the crazy part. He filed an assault report and said a man named Larry Pearson bit his penis during oral sex.
You're kidding me.
No.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's messed up.
He goes back to his house. He dismembers his body and buries his skull in the backyard.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he just puts the bodies out on the curb in the trash bag?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
So, and those bodies were not found.
They're in the...
Because they're just in the landfill.
Yeah, like, landfill somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh God.
And this went on for 4 years.
And it's Kansas City too.
Yeah.
So, unbelievable.
Let's talk about what happened next. 22-year-old Christopher Bryson.
Okay.
He was abducted and he says that he was hit by an iron bar and then drugged and tied up. He was tortured and raped for 4 days. His eyes were swabbed with ammonia. And his throat was injected with drain cleaner.
So he tries to blind them and keep them from screaming. So
right. He injects them with drain cleaner so that it eats their throat mm-hmm. up. And
they can't scream.
They can't scream. God bless. Yeah. So after 4 days, he earns the trust of Bob. How he does this, I don't
know. There's no telling. That's crazy.
He persuades him to tie his arms on the front of him. He says he's losing all circulation to his arms with them tied above his head in the bed. So can we please just tie them down in front of me? I'll be good, I promise. So Bob says, okay, I'll do that. But you need to know there have been several here before you and none of them have survived. And if you want to survive, you won't do anything stupid. He knows better, I'm sure.
Right.
So he has seen all of the pictures, because Bob would show him the Polaroids, of all of the men that had come before him. So he knew he had to do something to get out of there. Bob goes to work, and that's his chance. So Christopher finds a box of matches, and he burns through the ropes around mm-hmm. his arms.
Oh, nice.
Luckily, he didn't use piano wire like the other guys, right? Mm-hmm. So he's able to burn through the ropes. He jumps out of a second story window, breaking his foot, ankle, ugh, something. Yeah. But he makes his way to a neighbor's house and calls police.
Yes.
And then he tells this whole story about the torture and assault mm-hmm. for 4 days and what all was done to him.
Wow. Yes. So this is number seven?
Six.
This is the sixth guy?
Yeah.
God bless.
No, this is seven.
So he killed six.
He killed six.
And the number seven got loose.
Yes. So they are able to get a search warrant. They go in and they find over 300 photos.
Oh my gosh.
Of men in various forms of torture and whatever. There was an electrical transformer, a detailed torture diary with 4 years worth of entries.
Unbelievable.
He has newspaper clippings about Jerry Howell's disappearance. He has James Ferris's driver's license. He has human vertebrae. Human vertebrae in his home. He has two envelopes filled with teeth.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What a psycho.
And two skulls. One in the bedroom closet. One in the yard. So that was Robert Shelton's skull was kept in the closet. And Larry Pearson's was mm-hmm. in the backyard. So I'm curious as to what made him keep those.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody else just got thrown out. What? I mean, I know Larry Pearson bit his little winky. So that may be a reason like he was like, well, this guy deserves me to keep a piece of him. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like what?
Who knows what's going through this asshole's head? Yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's really weird that he only kept two of them. But maybe he kept the vertebrae or the teeth of others. I don't know. So they also found a chainsaw covered in flesh and blood in the basement.
I wonder what the police was thinking going through all this.
I know. And the house was completely covered in like all kinds of like sexual torture devices.
Gosh.
Complete sicko. So he's arrested.
Shocker. No way.
I know. And they're kind of surprised that it's him because, like I said, he was a neighborhood watch guy. He was helping all these people. And
you never know what's going on in people's houses.
Yeah.
Huh?
So, but apparently all of like the prostitutes and the transients, they were on to him. They were like, this guy is the one this mm-hmm. is why everybody's disappearing. Like this sicko is doing something mm-hmm. to us. And so I think that community had completely figured him out. And so I don't think he would have been able to operate much longer.
Because people's getting on.
Because they were on to him. But I don't know either, because these guys were homeless, drug addicts, prostitutes, people that, you know, on the fringes that nobody cared about.
Right.
And so would they have even given it a second thought if they'd have come with them? You know, if they'd have come to the police and been like, hey, we think this guy's killing male mm-hmm. prostitutes. Who knows?
Probably not, but they probably would have told people, hey, don't go there.
Yeah.
You know, warn each other.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I'm just glad he's got caught.
So, He was arrested on March 29th, 1988.
Wow.
Yeah. He confessed to all 6 murders. People believe that there might be more, but mm-hmm. those were the 6 that they could put on him, so...
4 years, you said?
Mm-hmm.
They had to be... I feel like they had to be more, just because... I don't know.
I don't know.
It sounds like he enjoyed it, and... You know, yeah. there's probably so many that came to him for help, and then he...
Yeah. He confessed, and, I mean, he gave full confessions and, like, details. I mean, they had his diaries, so... But he confessed in order to avoid a death penalty, mm-hmm. so... There's that. He received 6 life sentences.
Good.
For the murders.
Hope and he was tortured in prison.
So he actually, he said later on, he said once the men became his captive, they were no longer human to him. They were toys, objects, playthings.
Like his mind no longer just human. Switched.
Yeah. And so he actually said, this guy, he blamed the police. So they should
have. Wait, what?
Yeah, they should have caught him faster.
That's so lame.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's but a lot of what he did, I mean, even before, whenever he would get caught doing something or anything like that, like with the school and stuff, it was always someone else's fault.
See, Always. That's why, you know, it wasn't his father's fault for whooping his ass.
No.
This is all this asshole's fault.
So, the police should have caught him. And then he also said when he was in prison in Missouri State Penitentiary, there it is, that they were denying him his medication. They would just flat out not give it to him. Again, remember he has a heart condition, mm-hmm. high blood pressure at least.
And should have injected him with some
drain cleaner.
Drain cleaner then.
Well, we're human, not like him. And Sorry. he gave this interview where he talked about the media and how they treated him. And
In prison, you mean?
The media.
How the media treated him. I'm sorry.
So he actually said, it was really funny to me, that he said the media treated him no better than he treated his victims. That, and because of that... was no better than him because they had completely dehumanized him in the same manner that he did his victims.
What the freak ever.
I know. He is the victim. The balls He's to say that. Always going to be the victim. So, sick bastard.
So unbelievable.
Yeah. He was put in prison for the rest of his life.
Gosh. I hope he was tortured, like I said, in prison.
Actually...
Oh.
He only spent 4 years in prison.
He was only in prison for 4 years?
He died of a heart attack in October of 1992.
I feel like he should have survived longer in prison so he could be tortured.
I know. He was only 43 years old. Wow. So his dad was 39 mm-hmm. when he died, so it makes sense.
That's he crazy probably has he the was same on problems. Blood pressure medicine at a young age, so I feel like that was to come anyway.
Yeah, he wasn't gonna live very long probably anyway, but God, so yeah, all that.
I've never heard such a horrid story that's not a movie, you know.
I know. It reads like a horror film. It's disgusting.
Those poor boys. But
yeah. I think the oldest one was 25.
Yeah.
I
mean they were all young. Even though there's not in a good spot in life. And, you know, prostitute and stuff. No, nobody deserves that kind of treatment.
And I mean, those are the people who are at the greatest risk for this. Like, mm-hmm. sick. So that's the Kansas City Butcher.
Holy crap.
I know. It's terrible. And it's a huge story. I know a lot of people mm-hmm. are going to know about it. A lot of people probably know it. I didn't have to take too many notes. I knew a lot of it.
You knew about it.
But... I don't know. It's a terrible story, but I think as far as like trying to find the scariest stuff for Halloween month.
I don't think you can top this one.
No, no, not as far as like the
gruesome.
It's so gruesome. It's just disgusting.
Those poor boys. Oh, I can't.
I know. Yeah, it's terrible.
I don't know. just be killed instead of having to go through torture for hours and days. And
the one guy for 6 weeks.
Gosh. And the families knowing that's how their son, brother.
Yeah. I mean, as bad as it is for us to read these details and just, I mean, you just can't imagine. And then the fact that we know this about their last days, mm-hmm. and that somebody they love has also heard of this and knows that that's what their loved one went through. It's awful.
It is. It is.
So I knew that was going to be a heavy one. I knew it was going to be really heavy and really terrible, but
hurts my heart.
Yeah. So thank you guys for continuing to listen, even though that was awful.
Very much so.
But it's terrifying, and it's October, so we do terrifying things in October. So, there's that.
Man. I don't know. I don't think you're going to be able to top that one.
As far as, like, a good episode?
No. This is gruesome.
No. God, I hope not. Because I really, once I started looking into the details, was like, can I even do this one? Like, can I? I mean, I don't know if you noticed, I had to stop a few times and just like not bawl my eyes out while we were telling it because it was just too much. It was too heavy. Yeah. I don't like thinking of someone being hurt that way. It's too much. So if you're still listening, thank you. And send us a message. Let us know you're all right.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not. I'm not okay. So thank you guys for listening, and we will see you soon. We'll have some extra bonus episodes this week. Sorry, we kind of fell behind on that because Terry fell down and broke herself.
Stop it.
Terry had a bike wreck. And
this is like becoming a habit.
She really hurt herself pretty good. So we've had to do some of that.
And, deal with that.
Yeah. And we took a trip to Lake Tahoe. And
yeah, it was, we got back from Lake Tahoe last day on vacation. Yeah. I decided to get some alone time, go for a bike ride, found some mud, crashed and burned.
Yeah.
Been down and out ever since.
Yeah.
Really good times.
Yeah, it was great. So there's all that. We will get you some extra bonus episodes this week since for we sure. fell behind on those last week. We
got one out, didn't
couldn't.
We?
Yeah. We had one out, so.
We'll get them out.
I hope you guys are enjoying those.
Bedtime stories.
They're fun. I like reading those scary stories, and I don't have time to do it otherwise. So so thank you for letting me letting me read those to you. Have a great week. We'll see you soon. We'll talk to you soon. I don't know. Some of you people. And by the way, we just added Russia and Poland to our list of countries.
What?
Yeah.
We're getting out there.
I know.
Look at us go.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Welcome.
Enjoy the story.
Yeah, it's bad. So, I'm closing it up.
Let's do it.
All right. Bye, guys. We love you so much. Take care of yourselves.
Have a good week, guys.
Bye.